podcast for witches, intersectional feminists, and Wiccans alike, with a focus on current events, witchcraft, paganism, and life as a person of color, aka my day-to-day life. Before we get started, just some basic housekeeping. If I research something or have done research, it will be cited on the blog post with a corresponding title. I will be using the terms Wiccan, pagan, and witch interchangeably, but only in reference to myself because I identify with all of these titles. This does not imply that they are the same thing. And I love being able to make my podcast and blog for you all, but this podcast will sometimes contain ads to help me pay for necessities in college. If you would like to support me and my work and minimize the need for ads, please go to anchor.fm/wiccantations and hit the support button. Starting at as little as 99 cents per month, you can subscribe and help me financially. Any donations are greatly appreciated. Thank you. This is a Witch Behind the Brew episode. That means that I will be talking about my personal life and experiences. Alright. First things first. For those of you who listened to my previous episode within the first 2 days, so sorry for my fuck up. I completely forgot to, like, shift around the way my segments sit, so the, like, connect with me part is supposed to be at the very end, not the very beginning. And that's my bad. I'm so sorry. That was not intentional. Like, because I want you to find that out after. And so, like, if you listen to it once, you know. Anyways, that wasn't the point. I'm sorry. My bad. Second point, guys. I'm an ambassador for Cheekbone Beauty. And, like, when I tell you that I just got the prettiest lipsticks, like, they're so beautiful. They're, like, gorgeous colors, and I love them so much. I'm, like, so happy to try them on this weekend. There's that. And then, finally, just, like, I got my first email today. Like, today's Monday. It's 5:30 p.m. right now. So, like, y'all are gonna get this, ideally, on a Friday around 8-ish. I can post it. I'll have it. This is one of the episodes that I'll actually be like pre-recording rather than like recording an hour before I post it kind of episodes. But yeah, someone sent me an email. Just like, not that it's a bad thing. It's totally fine. But like, if y'all would like either come up with like nicknames for yourselves, I would appreciate that a little. Because, like, I want to maintain your privacy, and I want to make sure that, like, I'm not putting you on blast or, like, ousting you or anything, like, on a podcast, which technically, not to say that your family suddenly, like, knows exactly what you listen to, but anyone can find. But, like, yeah, if you have a nickname that allows me to, like, be like, hey, this person did this, and shout you out properly without, like, you know, putting your name out there. So, I came up with a nickname after my favorite candy because it's Valentine's Day, and while I am single laugh and not in a relationship, still salty about that. Gods, where's my partner? Where are they? I don't know where they are, but I hope they come soon. But yeah, I'm gonna nickname you Fund It because that's my favorite candy. And just like, thank you so much. It was literally like the shortest email, and it was like one sentence that was just like, hey, I checked out your podcast and I love it. And that's literally all it was, and I started crying. When I tell you, I started, like, shedding. It wasn't, like, a full-on ball, but, like, I was shedding tears in the middle of class. And my teacher was like, Mika, are you okay? And I was just like, yeah, I thought of something really, really. I had to, like, come up with something on the spot and be like, yeah, I thought of something really, really sad. Like, that made me so happy. Like, thank you so much. Like, it was literally the smallest thing, but that just, like, brightened my day. I was having a really bad day today, and that just, like, because, a friend, if you don't know what guest, maybe this will just be a personal episode. No, this will just be a personal segment. I'll try to keep it, like, under 5 minutes. But, if you don't know what gaslighting is essentially, if someone tells someone something, it's when they, like, devalue what you say and add their own input in. And so, like, taking it in a political context, that would be, like, the All Lives Matter movement versus the Black Lives Matter movement. Like, inherently, the sentence, the phrase saying all, not all gaslighting works this way, but in the sense that, like, this is gaslighting is if someone says to you Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter. In the sense that, like, you're not wrong, but you are detracting away from the original point that the person was trying to make and drawing the attention away from, like, what they were talking about. And, like, making them feel like their opinion on this is, you know, invalid. So, I'm like 99.9% sure that it was entirely unintentional. But, like, I've been having a really rough day because a friend's been, like, gaslighting me recently, and I don't think they've realized that they've been doing it, and I need to, like, sit them down and have this conversation. And that's really difficult for me because I love them. I love them so much. They're near and dear to my heart. But, like, at the same time, you can't keep doing that because it's making me feel like I'm incompetent in some way, shape, or form, and that's not true. But, yeah. Fund it. You know who you are, if you're, but, like, thank you so, so much for that email. I really love it. I really, really appreciate it, and I just wanted to say that. Now on to the actual part of the episode. So, I screwed up. Hi, guys. Merry Met, and blessed be. It's me, Nova, again, with Wiccantations. It's been a while. It's been about, like, I want to say about 2 weeks. I started creating this episode on February 11th. It's now February 25th. So it's actually quite literally 2 weeks. It's been 14 days. Yeah. You know what? I'm happy that I'm, like, getting back into this and I'm jumping back in as soon as possible. And I'm going to publish this episode tonight. I'm going to make sure I finish it today. Today's the 25th. So now you have a timestamp and to call me out if I don't. But, yeah, you know, life happens, stuff happens, just things get in your schedule, get in your way, you can't get stuff done on time. Like, I took a really big trip down to New Orleans 2 weeks ago. Last week I had to take off for, you know, personal reasons, because, like, the whole Jesse situation was getting to me, and, you know, I am going to set this episode as a Witch Behind the Brew episode. I was planning on doing something for it, but, like, you know, like, look at that, my African-American vernacular is coming out because I'm really stressed. But, like, you know, I was planning on doing something for it, but then I kind of just decided that, like, this is not the time, not today, it's not healthy, so I needed to have a good episode where it's just me talking to y'all so y'all can, like, hear where I'm at, what my process has been, and, like, I can create somewhat of a safe place for the people who listen to this, because it's been hard. It's been a really rough month. It's been a rough Black History Month. Like, one of my favorite shows as a kid, The Proud Family, there's a scene where the dad is like, hey, he gets all excited and he gets dressed up. I'm paraphrasing, by the way, so it's not going to be, like, an exact quote or anything like that. I mean, he's like, hey, it's Black History Month. And then you see the next scene, and then it's, like, the shortest month of the year. So, like, Black, and that's how it is in America. We do have the shortest month of the year. So you have this very small amount of time being taken to recognize Black people, to recognize what Black people have done. And then you just end up with, like, all of this mess. And it's just a lot of work that you don't necessarily, it's tiring, y'all. It's tiring. It's real tiring sometimes, where it's just, like, as you can see here in my voice, like, normally when I'm recording these podcasts, I'm trying my best to, like, articulate, you know, trying not to use too much African-American vernacular, because, like, I want y'all to be able to connect to what I'm saying. And because as much as I would love for this to be a podcast specifically for Black femmes and specifically for Black people and people of color, so that's the can be, like, a point of connection for you, I do want to make it, like, accessible. And, you know, that means including the white community, and that means, like, operating on the baseline of the white community, because operating on the baseline of the Black community would get me pushed to the side, would get me marginalized, you know. So it's hard, it's difficult being a person of color in this country. It's difficult being a Black person in this country. Because if you walk, some kid the other day in my class was all, like, was trying to compare a Southern accent and African-American vernacular, right?
First and foremost, African American vernacular is a language. Don't get it twisted. It's the same way Creole. Well, it's slightly different with Creole, because Creole technically, like specifically Haitian Creole, is technically a language. In Haiti, you know, but like the same way, like Creole is a derivative of French, and Patois, which is what Jamaicans speak, is a derivative of English. African American vernacular is it also a derivative of English? So it's its own language. It has its own rules. It has its own like set of I just hit my leg on the table. I hope y'all didn't hear that. But like it has its own set of rules. It has its own set of like functionalities and ways that it works. And so, you know, knowing that and like being able to stop and look at that and be like, this is my language. So, but yeah, like if you walk into somewhere and you have a southern accent, people may judge you from being from the south. People may be like, oh, you're a redneck. But like a redneck being suspected of, sorry, I'm like really, really frustrated. And when I get frustrated, I like my vocabulary goes like up and then down. And then I like forget words, how to pronounce words. Gets messy. But like, yeah, if you get suspected of being a redneck, you're not going to be as susceptible to like getting fired. No one's going to like, unless you actually do something that makes you a bigot, like the chances of you getting fired are significantly lower than like me walking in somewhere, greeting the boss, saying, yo, what's up? All right. That's going to get me like, they're going to not even look at my application. They're going to turn me away at the door. So, you know, you constantly have to have, if you want to be able to go anywhere in the society, in the way this world functions, you have to be able to put up that front, to put up that, like, of what society expects you to be. And what society expects you to be is based on that white supremacist standard, that white standard. So you're constantly having to, like, watch your words, watch how you pronounce things, you know. Like, take that, for example. Just, like, I just said, watch show. Like, that's something I haven't done as much research as I would like to on it, so I don't want to say that it's quite literally African American vernacular, but like it's getting towards there, versus like saying watch out, like what you doing, versus watch what you are doing, or watch what you're doing, you know. So like you can hear the difference in how I'm pronouncing it and how much enunciation I have and how much I articulate and that kind of thing, you know. It gets tiring, y'all. And like you kind of have to work with it, you have to roll with it, and it's a lot sometimes, and it's been a lot for the past 2 weeks. Like I went to Louisiana, and y'all, when I tell you I had the time of my life, like there were black people everywhere. It was a visit that specifically was for people of color, so you know I had a lot of interaction with other people of color, which essentially acted as a safe space, because you know, like, sometimes it can be really, really harmful to be a black person, to be a person of color, to be specifically an indigenous person in a PWI, in a private white institution, in somewhere that's like majority white, because, you know, there are certain things, certain nuances that people don't get, certain things that are harmful that people don't understand. And it's like, unless you have gone through the experience, or you have someone who has volunteered to share that information with you, because stop it right there. No black person, no person of color, no minority is required to explain their experiences to you. And that took a long, I'm like jumping around a lot, I'm sorry, but like that took a really long time for me to learn, because like, why is it a requirement for me to explain my problems to you? Like, you can look it up. You can do the research. People have volunteered this information for you. People have, like, laid it out in black and white, easy for you to read, for you to look at and be like, oh, hey, that's it. But, like, you know, people don't do that. So then they expect, like, if I say something, they expect me to be able to want to be willing and be have the time and the energy to sit there and explain it to them. And that's hard, yo. That's tiring. But yeah, back to the point, like New Orleans was a really safe space for me. It was a really good time. And then I come back and then we have the mess with Jesse. Oh my God, Jesse. Not gonna lie, okay, there are certain things, there are guilty, I don't wanna call it a guilty pleasure. There are areas that I'm complicit in. Okay? And that part of it is because, like, you know what, just choice, where it's like this, here's my threshold, this is below it, and therefore I'm gonna do it. And then there's also just like as a result of being someone of a lower income person, of someone who's like doesn't have the privilege of being able to do exactly what I wanted to, like take for example shopping and like buying from minority owned businesses. You know, like as much as I would love to do that, is also expensive. Like, I'm going to be making an Instagram post about it later. I've been neglecting my Instagram as much as I've been neglecting this podcast. My bad, y'all. I'm going to get back on it. I'm going to get it together. But, like, you know, I recently bought some, like, lipsticks from this small company that I'm brand ambassador for, this Cheekbone Beauty. And, like, yes, I'm very, very happy for that. And I'm very, very excited about that. But, like, each of those lipsticks was $30. Now, like, I don't know. I can't tell you the exact details of, like, what goes into making it $30. And I'm 100% sure it was definitely worth every penny. But, like, I bought three of them, okay? That was $100 that I just spent. Like, that was, like, with the addition of, like, shipping, that was roughly, like, $100 that I just spent on, like, specifically three individual lipsticks. So, like, buying Black, buying Indigenous, buying from small minority-owned businesses isn't always cheap. So then it's like there are all these things that I want to do, all these people I want to support, but then I don't have the funds to support them. So, you know, like, a lot of the books I read, I end up having to get them from Amazon because, you know, I would love to be able to walk into a Sankofa, which is this, like, D.C., this cafe that I really love in D.C., this Black-owned cafe where they have a lot of Black literature, and it's beautiful, and the food is great, and it's just, like, it's a really nice space. But, like, I can't always do that because it costs money, you know? It costs bucks to be able to go and buy some stuff from there. Some of their stuff is expensive. It's, like, Starbucks expensive. And I was, like, I don't got that kind of money. But, yeah, Empire is one of the things I was complicit on. Is one of my areas of complicity. One of the areas where I kind of let it slide under the radar, you know? And I shouldn't, but I'm human and I'm a hypocrite, and therefore I do. So, and I'm not going to say I'm not here to debate whether it actually happened or not. That's not what we're here to talk about. What we're here to talk about is, like, the repercussions that are going to come from it. And just the conversation surrounding it, because a lot of things that I'm, like, you're going to be hearing, and a lot of things that I've been hearing is, like, oh, we shouldn't have believed him in the first place. We shouldn't have put our faith in someone. It's like, no, Black people and LGBT people and Black LGBT people have been marginalized so often, and, like, their voices have been stolen so often that, like, the few times that you do see them be able to push that media barrier, to be able to push forward and make national news, like, you better believe them. If you don't believe them, you're part of the problem and not a part of the solution. But at the same time, like, what he did was also really, really harmful to the Black community. Like, compare this to Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein assaulted a bunch of women, but he is also a white man. So no one's going to sit there and be like, oh, well, you can't really believe white people when they say stuff like that, you know? When they file for, like, an assault case, be like, oh, well, since Harvey Weinstein, you know, raped and assaulted all these people, I guess I can't really believe any white women. No one's ever going to say that. But people will sit there and be like, well, you know, maybe not every hate crime is actually a hate crime, because, like, look at Jesse. Look at Jesse Smollett, and look at what happened to him and how that was fake. And then it's like, that's a problem. And also just, like, taking into the corruption of the Chicago PD. Like, Chicago PD, CPD is, like, one of the most corrupt police forces in America, and, like, people know this. Like, it's a thing. Like, you know, like, Chicago PD, LAPD, one of the most corrupt police forces in America. Like, you, if you're a Black person, if you're a person of color, you cannot trust these people, all right? So then the fact that this happened and it's in Chicago and it's coming from the Chicago PD also raises skepticism from me. Like, is there a possibility that he was set up? Is it a possibility that they're wrong? Or are they right? I don't know. I'm not a police officer. I don't have the exact details of the case like that. But, like, it's also a thought to have. And just the whole thing is just, like, it's very, very draining and it's very, very harmful. Like, I've had the pleasure, I started dating someone recently, whoop, whoop, get excited, but, like, my girlfriend is white, you know, so there are certain things that she's not gonna get that's been, like, very, very hard for me. And it's, like, one of the things, I mean, she doesn't know I have this podcast, maybe she'll listen to it one day, and it's, like, whoops, surprise, if she ever does. But, you know, we've been friends for about 4 years, and I've liked her about one and a half. And, like, one of the reasons that I was a lot more hesitant about asking her out. It's like, logically, I know that, like, I don't think she's, like, gonna have any qualms about dating a person of color. But, like, the insecure part of me, the part of me that's, like, constantly dealing with all of this racism and the microaggressions and, like, all the oppression that comes with being a black person in America, is sitting there and is thinking, like, will she like me if I'm black? Like, will that be a deterrent for her? Will that, like, stop her from being like, you know, I'm not really attracted to you? And then would that be a result of, because of the color of my skin? Like, that's one of the things that was really, really hard for me to think about. And, like, I'm really happy I asked her out. And it's been, like, we went on a date recently and that was great. But also, like, there was a high, like, I'm literally shaking right now. But, like, there was a really high level of fear for me, you know? Like, I was able to bypass that somewhat because of where I live. I live in a very liberal area. And it's, like, also the time we went out was, like, 3 p.m. on a Friday. So it wasn't, like, super late at night or anything like that. So it's not, like, you have to worry. And we also went out in, like, a popular shopping district. So, like, it was a very open, very public space. But, like, at the same time, there's still that fear that's, like, okay, if I hold her hand, like, will somebody come after us? Will somebody say something? Like, if I do these things, is that putting me at risk? Is that putting her at risk? And it's, I mean, that's going to be a fun conversation. I'm going to have to sit her down one day and explain that and be like, I'm a little afraid. But, you know, like, it's really, really hard to be able to, like, not be able to do some of these things that you want to do, but, like, are hindered by the color of your skin, something that you can't, I mean, technically you can change it by doing skin bleaching, but, like, something that's, like, inherent to you, that's, like, biological, that you were born with, that does not affect you and how you function in any way, does not affect you and how you function negatively in any way, like, sorry, I'm just, I really wanted to get the terminology there, right, just take, cut all of that out, just pretend I didn't say it, Because I can't explain that. And there's a lot of nuance that's going on in my head that sometimes doesn't always come out in my words. And I think that I phrased that incorrectly. And I'm aware that I phrased that incorrectly. But I don't really know how to fix it. So we're just going to move on from that. But, like, it's hard, y'all. It's hard and it's harmful. And it's, like, I was supposed to do, I think, a tarot episode. I'm actually not sure right now. I have to go back and look at it. But, like, I was really excited. I was really pumped. And then I went on this trip. And then I came back. And there was a whole thing with the Jesse case. And then, like, come this Sunday, oh my god, the Oscars, oh my god, who are these people, why are they here, why are they, all right, what I'm specifically referencing here is the fact that Green Book won Best Picture. Green Book is about a black artist named, hold on one second. His name is Don Shirley. I'm trying to see what time period he, like, did the traveling in. But Green Book is about Don Shirley touring the United States with his chauffeur. First and foremost, let's start with the fact that Don Shirley's family did not agree to doing this film. And I can't remember where the article is from, but I will find out at some point. But, like, there was definitely a point where, like, Don Shirley's, his, like, they asked, while he was still alive, they asked him if he would be willing to, like, do this film and be, like, a reference for the film or let them do it. I don't know exactly how to phrase it. I don't know how those permissions worked, but basically he was, like, no way. In no way in anything am I going to be, like, go and do this film. Like, I don't know what you're thinking. It's not going to happen. And, you know, his family also said no when they came back and asked him. So first and foremost, Green Book was done without the permission of the family of Don Shirley. So that in itself is problematic. Second of all, Green Book is whitewashed to God's green earth, okay? Like, Green Book is so whitewashed. It is literally a polar bear eating ice cream in a snowstorm, okay? Like, it's so bad. Like, first and foremost, let's start with the fact of what a green book is. A green book was an actual book that was used during the Jim Crow era because a lot of black people got cars at the time, you know. So, like, a green book was, like, a way for, if I remember correctly, for black people to travel safely. So it's like, here's a list of places that, like, I know will serve black people. Here's a list of hotels that you can actually stay at. And so, like, here's all these different things that are, like, I'm trying to look it up right now on my phone as I'm recording this. But, like, it was an actual book that was, like, safe spaces for Black people. Yeah, here it is. The Negro Motorist Green Book was an annual guidebook for African-American road trippers, commonly referred to as Green Book. It was originated and published by an African man, African-American New York City mailman Victor Hugo Green from 1936 to 1966 during the era of Jim Crow laws, when open and often legally prescribed discrimination against African-Americans, especially in other non-whites, was widespread. Although pervasive racial discrimination and poverty limited Black car ownership, the emerging African-American middle class bought automobiles as soon as they could, but faced a variety of dangers and inconveniences along the road, from refusal of food and lodging to arbitrary arrests. In response, Green wrote his guide to services and places relatively friendly to African-Americans, eventually expanding its coverage from the New York area to much of North America, as well as founding a travel agency. So, like, this quite literally was a book of safety. Like, this book, it was a safe space for Black people in paper form. Like, it was a list of places where Black people, for African-American people, were able to safely, like, go and know that they would not be harmed, that they would not be attacked, that they would not be profiled, or anything along those lines in those places in that book. So they also disrespected the memory of that book and everything that it stood for. Sorry. And then also, just like, the chauffeur, the limo driver, definitely was not friends with Dawn Shirley. Like, Dawn Shirley did not like him. They did not talk to each other outside of, like, let me open the door for you, quite literally. Okay, so, like, they also completely misrepresented that relationship, and the fact that, like, I have not watched the movie. I have no plans to watch the movie. I will not be watching the movie. But, like, the fact that they also, like, whitewashing it in the sense that, like, apparently I heard that the guy who was the driver was supposed to be teaching Dawn Shirley, or, like, Mahershala Ali's character, about Black culture, about how to eat fried chicken. Like, are y'all really gonna be that racist? Are y'all gonna be that explicitly racist? Are you serious? And, you know, it's such a mess. It's so much disrespect in that movie. And, like, the final nail in the coffin, I mean, there are more, but, like, one of the biggest nails in the coffin was the fact that Mahershala Ali was listed as the supporting actor. This is a movie about a Black musician and his chauffeur. Do you hear how I phrase that? The musician and his chauffeur. Musician came first. Mahershala Ali should not have been up for supporting actor. He should have been up for best actor, because his character should have been the main character. If it is about a musician's journey, not about the white man who's driving him around, like, why in all hell? Also, side note, I read in the article, I don't remember what article it is, sorry about that, but, like, that also the chauffeur was racist too, so, like, there's no way to win with that guy. But, like, literally though, y'all had him as the supporting actor. Like, I don't understand. I do not understand how he ended up being the supporting actor when his character is supposed to be the main person the movie is about. Like, unless the white guy was listed as the supporting actor too, I don't give a butt what you say, okay? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It does not make any sense. And it's so harmful. It's so exhausting and so harmful. And it's really just, like, a slap in the face. That's really what it is. It's just a slap in the face for Black people. So, like, this month it's been great. And it's been hard. And I love Black History Month. And I love Black people. And I love Black culture. But, like, it's been rough. It's been rough. It's been taking some time. It's been really, really hard. And I've been, like, you know, I've been drawing a lot recently. I don't think I have it listed right now, but I will list it. But, like, I have a separate art account that's, like, specifically for just art stuff I do. And I've been, like, trying to get myself back into a better place by drawing more Black people, more people of color, more diversity in terms of, like, art and stuff. So right now I'm about to be drawing fat people. Fun fact, fat is not a derogatory word, so don't come at me for that. Like, that's not what this podcast is about right now, but like, if you go to Girl Power Supply on Instagram, there is a story. If you go to her, if you scroll through her highlights, there's going to be a section basically talking about fat allyship. So I do not identify as fat. I am considered, and I am also not clinically labeled as obese or overweight or anything along those lines. I'm technically within my normal BMI, within what is described as the normal BMI index. So I want to be an ally to the fat community rather than taking their place. So I'm going to try to do that by providing representation in the artwork that I do. I'm really tired, guys. I'm so sorry. Why am I apologizing for being tired? I'm human. Take that back. Scratch that. I didn't apologize for being tired. But yeah, like, you know, it's been a lot. A lot has been happening. And I'm trying to, like, get myself back into a good place, back into a healthy place. It also does not help that I'm, like, we just started reading Lolita in my school. And, like, that book is whack, y'all. That book is whack, okay? Like, we got, like, a line in, and he's, like, Lolita, blood of my heart, fire of my loins. And I was like, this is a 12-year-old girl, and you were a grown man. What are you doing? I don't know, but is there? It happened, so. But, yeah, sorry. I, like, went in 20 different directions on that. And that just happened. So, yeah, Jesus. I'm going to try to get an episode out for Friday. We're going to see how it goes. I'm going to try to do that. Yeah, honestly not sure what it's going to be about yet, but it's going to be on my current track of back to your mostly regularly scheduled programming. But honestly, at this point, I make no promises because I really am tired. I'm, like, exhausted emotionally and physically exhausted. It's been a really, really long time. I'm just tired, yo. I'm tired. It's, you know, sometimes you just gotta take that time. You gotta take that time for your mental health, and you gotta take that space to just be with yourself, you know? Do what you can for you. My little self-care act for the day is I'm gonna sing y'all a song. It's gonna be from Kalani's mixtape. It's gonna be as much as I can remember, and I'm doing this really, really impromptu, so, like, please don't. I did not warm up. I did not practice. I didn't do anything like that. No. Am I gonna do Lizzo or am I gonna do Kalani? I think I need a ballad today, so we're going to do Kalani. I'm like, this is, like, literally, I decided this, like, 20 seconds ago, so I'm looking up, like, the I can't remember what it's called, but, like, the list of songs for her newest album, While We Wait by Kalani. Like, that's, it meant so much. It's been so good for me, y'all. Like, that whole album has been carrying me this weekend. Like, it has been, like, it picked me up and it got me through this weekend. Like, I don't know how I would have gotten anywhere without it. Morning Glory doesn't really feel appropriate for right now, but Morning Glory is a really good one. Morning Glory is basically, like, about, like, if you don't love me at my nighttime, how can you love me at my morning glory? So it's like, if you don't love me when my makeup's off, when I'm, like, down and dusty, when I got my do-rag on or I got my bonnet on and, like, nothing's plucked, nothing's prim, I'm in some, like, really old sweatpants and a tank top kind of thing. Like, if you cannot love me at my worst moment, how will you be able to love me when I'm glowing up, you know? Like, that's, what did I just do? Yeah, that's what that song is about. Considering Footsteps, what other ones? There's Too Deep. I don't really know Too Deep that well. It kind of didn't resonate with me as much. Nanyo, which is so good. It's basically it's none of your business. I don't care. Like, we're broken up now. I don't know why you care about, like, who I'm with, what I'm doing, that kind of thing, you know. Nights Like This. I considered doing that one, but that's a little upbeat for me right now and how I'm feeling right now, so. But, like, it's basically, like, how do you keep on doing this to me? Like, I don't understand. Like, RPG. Oh, I could do RPG, but I don't think I know it well enough. But it's featuring Black, the guy who spells his name Sick Lack. That RPG is good. RPG is good. So I'm considering my it's, but yeah, there's also Butterfly and Love Language, and they're all just so good. They're all so, so good. You know, just like they fill your soul. Why is my friend? I love my friends, but like thoughts. My friend Jax is like my friend is asking me for like what I want as a gift, and then it's like get back to me sooner rather than later, and it's just like, and then it's been a few hours and it's already a text that's like, so any ideas? And I'm like, I thought sooner meant tomorrow, not a few hours later, fam. Yeah. I got yelled at. With a good yelled at. One of my friends. Oh, wait, we have a speaker tomorrow? I'm sorry. I'm just like everywhere. My notifications are coming up. I had all the intentions of like, what is occurring? What is occurring? Oh, thank God. Okay. Anyways, sorry. Just messing up. Just screwing. It's not. All right. We're going to get there. We're getting there. We're getting to the song. We're getting to the song in a minute. I'm sorry. All right. Ooh, you know how I said I was going to do this song? And then I just realized I don't know anything except the chorus. I take it back. Take it back. Why I gotta be like that? What's another one I liked? Butterfly was good. Wow, that's not what I meant. Kalani. I'm sorry, y'all. It's taking forever. You can like skip all of this if you want to, and you don't have to. I just don't know that one either. Wow. Wow. I just don't know any of these. I really thought I did. I really, really thought I did. Nope, I don't know who that is, but that's not who I'm looking for. I'm looking for Kalani. Thank you. There we go. I think we're getting there. Nope. I just don't know any of these. That's so sad. Wow. You know what? We're gonna go to a classic that I'm fully aware that I know this one. I actually do know this one, I promise. So, I'm sorry, guys. It's fine. You're probably not going to listen this far anyway. You probably have skipped already. But if you are listening, yay, thanks. I'm really tired and I'm really exhausted and really spacey, which is why, like, this podcast has jumped 50 million directions. But yeah, this is my little song for you. I hope you like my voice. Wasn't sure I'd be alright. Wasn't sure I'd be okay again. Didn't know how to take flight. Wings broken couldn't seem to bend. Somehow you came in like the wind and picked me up for good. And now I know what I am missing, thinking that you should. Ooh, pick up the pieces. Help me learn to stand. Lift me from the ground and use your hands to hold me by the heart. Tell me I'll be whole again. Hold me by the heart. Tell me it will never end. 'Cause I've begun to think that I was nothing short of broken. So baby, hold me by the heart and help me fly again. Always read all the fairy tales, always knew that it would come. Through the vein, through the pain, I convinced myself it's only magical for some. Somehow you came in like a prince and picked me up for good. And now I know what I am missing. I'm thinking that you should. Ooh, pick up the pieces. Help me learn to stand. Lift me from the ground and use your hands to hold me by the heart. Tell me I'll be whole again. To hold me by the heart. Tell me it will never end. 'Cause I've begun to think that I was nothing short of broken. So baby, hold me by the heart, help me fight again. It's not how it ends, but I don't feel like doing the ending, so that's how I'm gonna end. If you actually got through all of my rambling today, thanks for that. Appreciate it. I appreciate that you're here. I appreciate that you're listening. I appreciate that. All that y'all have been doing for me, you know, I'm gonna be back on it next come Friday. But if you left early, that's also fine too, especially because, you know, you're not gonna hear the part where I'm saying that, like, you leaving early is fine. But yeah, I'm tired. I'm gonna get it together. I'm gonna work on myself, you know, take some mental health time and keep it moving, keep it pushing, you know, because the work never stops, grind never ends, all that good stuff. Y'all got it, guys. You can do it. I can do it. We both can do it. Merry met, merry part, and blessed be.
Feel free to contact me by email at wicantations@gmail.com, or you can find me on Instagram at the handle wicantations. That is spelled WICCANTATIONS. If you'd like to learn more about my opinion on these topics, please visit my blog. The link is in the bio. I am doing bi-monthly anonymous tarot readings. If you would like to submit a question, please email me, DM me, or contact me through my blog with anonymous tarot reading in the subject line. If you would like to guarantee a tarot reading by paying for one, feel free to contact me for more information.